You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and today's show is produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. We've got a full lineup of local stories from across the region. First, we head to Lennoxville, where the city's sudden shift from Explore Lennox to a new branding called Mo Lennox has raised concerns among all three borough councillors. I sat down with Bert Collins, Claude Charron, and Frank Gilbert to talk about how the decision was made and what they want to see happen next. Then we travel south to Stanstead, where arm wrestling is quietly becoming a grassroots success story. Club leader David Paquette explains how a handful of locals have turned a simple training group into a growing community hub. And we wrap up with some big sports news from Alexander Galt. Both the senior girls and bantam girls basketball teams brought home championships last weekend, and I spoke with senior coach Rod Gilpin about what's behind his team's momentum. All that and more coming up on the Pulse of the Eastern Townships. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and this segment is produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. Today, we're looking at a story that has stirred up strong feelings in Lennoxville. The city of Sherbrooke has quietly replaced the long-standing Explore Lennox branding with a new label called Mo Lennox. The change was made without consulting the borough's elected officials, and all three councillors say it undermines Lennoxville's identity and its bilingual character. I sat down with Borough President Bert Collins, Uplands Councillor Claude Charron, and Fairview Councillor Frank Gilbert in Lennoxville's council room to talk about how they found out about the rebrand, why it matters, and what they're asking the city to do next. Here's that conversation. Okay, Bert, give me a rundown of the Mo Lennox situation.
First of all, last week we had a meeting in town, and I brought the paper from the record to at that meeting, and I showed the paper to Madame Bibeau. And she looked at it, and she took the paper right away, and she brought that to somebody from the town, l'assistante directrice générale. And they talked for a few minutes there, and since then, she took action by asking what's going on, how come this was done. And we mentioned that the borough was not involved at all. So since then, we met her on Saturday, Mr. Charron and I, and we explained to her this is something that we did hear about it, and it's coming out in our business people around here what is really going on. So she mentioned she's going to look at it really seriously, and she's going to talk to the proper people that started to do that, and she's supposed to get back to us between 2 and 3 weeks from now. So this is where we are now. We're waiting for a positive answer. But at this time, that's about the only thing that I could add. And I know that Mr. Gilbert and Mr. Charron, they were at a meeting here in town last Thursday where I couldn't attend because it's the budget period. And is there anything that you guys would like to chip in? Like Mr. Gilbert or Mr. Charron, they attended that meeting.
Councillor Claude Charron explained what happened at the meeting.
Sure, we had a meeting with Entreprendre-Sherbrooke, really. And Entreprendre-Sherbrooke, which has this new plan for Sherbrooke, and of course they include us in there, and they took this initiative, I guess, and of course they got the feedback that we gave them at that table, the same feedback as everybody. First of all, we're bilingual, so and it becomes a bit insulting. And what I explained at that table is that it's always chipping on our bilingualism status, because you look at what happens at Bishop's lately, you know, with all the cuts and all they're forced to put the more French classes and stuff like that. So bilingualism, it becomes important there too. So somewhere in there, I'm looking at the whole picture, and it's always chipping at our bilingual status. And this, I think, is interpreted as such too by our citizens.
It was clarified that former councillor Jennifer Garfat brought up the issue at the last borough council meeting. Frank Gilbert gave his views next.
I was at the same meeting as Claude, and I come to the same conclusion where, once again, as Claude says, they're chipping away at our bilingual status. And I made it very clear to them that we were not going to stand for that. And the same is what happened at the meeting we had about the bike path back in August, where they showed up saying, well, by the way, this is going to be a French meeting, and you know darn well you're going to a bilingual borough, and you don't think of having people to do, you know, do it bilingual. You can have both languages. I mean, we're smart people. We understand both French and English. And so it's just, yeah, the buck stops here. This is where we have to put our foot down and say, no more of this. You know, we're not going to stand for it.
Explore Lennox as bilingual, but moan Lennox is not. Borough President Bert Collins commented further.
It doesn't fit here at all. People are not happy about that at all. They like to keep it like it was before. Explore Lennox. Everybody that comes to Lennox, they know it. Explore Lennox. It's not my Lennox or more Lennox. It's not that at all. They need to understand that it's always been the proper word to use, like it is now on Square, on the Square Queen. It's written Explore Lennox. Why change that? Everybody that comes here know that it's Explore Lennox. But what is really frustrating that they did that before, at least talk to the people of the borough. Talk with Mr. Gilbert and Mr. Shaw and myself. They did that, that's it. It doesn't work like that. So we have to put our feet down and said, look, it's time that we get together and tell the town that, look, we exist here. Give us a hand. Talk to us before doing something like this.
How could this have happened? Was it just an oversight?
Be the way I see it, talking with Mr. Gilbert and Mr. Shaw, I think they want to put everything together. I have only one word, and that's it. But it doesn't work here. Lennoxville, we stick together, and it's always been like that. Explore Lennox, and I'm going to work that we at least bring it back. I don't know if we'll win, but at least for now, they'll know what's going on. Because like Mr. Gilbert just mentioned, when they had the big meeting here in town on the August 25th about the bike trail, it didn't work. It wasn't French. And the poor person that was in front explaining to us everything, she tried to speak in English and French. That it doesn't work at all. And I know that the mayoress at that time, Mrs. Boudin, at the end she said, we made a mistake. She was embarrassed to see how everything turned out. So I'm going to stick to Explore Lennox. We'll work at it, the three of us, and we'll see how it's going to go. But like the lady that we spoke with on Saturday, she mentioned, give me some time and we'll try to figure out what we can do. That's where we are now.
Claude Chahon had further comments.
That it's the fact that when we had that meeting, you know, I remember me and Jennifer repeating to these guys, you're making a mistake. You're making a mistake, but they still went ahead with it. So this Explore Lennox, you know, that was born probably 8-10 years ago. I remember that we had a business committee. You know, all the businesses in town, we had a committee and we decided this Explore Lennox. So it was accepted by the community as is and created by the community. So this is a really big difference now. They come up with this and impose it to us.
Okay. I understand that they want to have like branding for all of Sherbrooke and probably some very smart people behind all of this, but they just didn't take into consideration that Lennoxville is not like the other boroughs. And I think even Bromptonville has a beef with it. I was reading in the paper this morning. So I think even they are losing something. So, you know, it would be nice for them to come and see us. One thing that I was surprised about the meeting we had last Thursday, it was a meeting that was mainly for the business people on a Thursday morning at 9 o'clock.
With three businesses at the
table. There was three businesses at the table. So, I mean, normally people who run businesses on Thursday at 9 o'clock, they're in their business, running their business. So you obviously are not thinking outside the box here. You want to have the business people there. Well, be a heck of an idea for them to be there, you know, so I don't know. We'll bring it up to them and we have a meeting with them, I think in January.
Yes.
So one-on-one. So obviously we're going to bring all of this stuff up to them. And as Bert said, he's got Mrs. Bebo is on, you know, aware of the situation now. So we'll just take it one step at a time.
And you look at Albert Pontcharbrooke, There's a huge change with Arthur Brancher Group and what it was before. It was cutbacks. You know, you got the tourist Sherbrooke that used to exist. Now it's Arthur Brancher Group. They gathered in Innopol is now Arthur Brancher Group. Okay. So there's a big change. Exactly. That's what it is. Cutbacks and financial decisions here. So that was decided by the previous council, which was not very friendly to business, according to me. You know, they were more environment. You know, they pushed up, put all the finances and environment. So we get these results.
You've been listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and this segment was produced with support from the Local Journalism Initiative. Since this conversation was recorded, there has already been a development. The city has agreed to meet with Lenoxville Borough Councillors to discuss the branding issue directly. That meeting is expected to take place very soon. The councillors say they'll continue pressing for clarity on how the Mount Lennox decision was made and will push for a return to the long-standing Explore Lennox identity, which they argue better reflects the borough's bilingual and community-driven character. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more local coverage right here on CJMQ 88.9 FM. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and this segment is produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. Today we're heading to Stanstead, where a small but dedicated group has spent the past year building something surprisingly powerful, an arm wrestling club that's quickly becoming a regional hub for the sport. I sat down with club leader and longtime Stanstead Township firefighter David Paquette, who shared how the group began, how it's going, and why arm wrestling is as much about community and confidence as it is about strength. From home training with resistance bands to crosstown collaborations with clubs in Sherbrooke and Waterloo, Paquette says the sport is opening new doors for local athletes and creating a sense of connection he never expected. Here's our conversation.
My name is David Paquette. I got into arm wrestling quite a while ago. I've been looking at a lot of videos and I've been showing a lot of interest in it. And last year, I decided to get with a few guys from Stanstead. And, you know, I got a club going. And, of course, I went out a bit before to the club in Waterloo and the club in Sherbrooke. And I went out and pulled with them. And, I really like the sports. It's a really fun sport. It's, everybody is out there to help you out. Nobody is out there to try to kill you. And we all have to work Monday morning. So, like, nobody wants to get hurt. And we warm up for that. And it's a great sport.
Tell me more about the club and when it started.
Well, this club has been going for about, it's been a year now. We have our regulars, four or five people that comes up, and then whenever we are, sometimes there, we've been doing our meetings now on Sunday nights because that's when everybody seems to be going, getting along because we all have pretty busy schedule. But when we used to have it Saturday nights, people used to come and used to be busy, you know, and so it's been a year. Like, the club has been a year now.
How often do you visit the Waterloo and Sherbrooke clubs?
Oh, I go with them whenever I can. I have a pretty busy lifestyle too, you know. Like today, I started this morning, had to be in Sherbrooke for 8. Now I'm just coming back from Sherbrooke now. So I've been in Sherbrooke like crazy busy. Like Waterloo, they train on Saturday nights. So whenever I can, I have nothing going on, I'll go and see them. I really like the Waterloo Club. Mm-hmm. And Sherbrooke Club, they train on Wednesday night. So like, but now with my schedule, I work every other night. So I can go sometimes. I'll go and visit them maybe once or twice a year.
So you're a firefighter in Stanstead Township.
Stanstead Township, that's right. Been going on for like, I don't know, I'm not sure, like 14, 15 years, yeah.
Where would you like to take this club? What's your dream?
The sky's the limit. Yeah, well, we have some really good guys, really good people. Some of them just need to have some more confidence in themselves. And once they have more confidence in themselves, they'll do great. And they're already strong. Everybody is strong. You know, it's all, you know, any sports, it's how you want it. How do you go about it? You only practice once a week and that's it, you're done? But that's just a beer league practice. We're all at home training. We all train at home, and once we come here, we talk about it, different techniques on how to practice and how to get better and how to evolve in the sports.
How do you train at home without anybody else?
Oh, you use weights with pulleys and weights, and I personally really like to work with bands, with resistant bands. Everybody likes their own, but I like bands. I have one in my car. I drive 45 minutes on the way to work, and I'll train with bands in my car on the way up. I even have one in the back of my work, bands in there, so I have to drive somewhere. I use the bands, and I train with in the back of. Yeah. And if you want to inquire more and ask me on Facebook, on Messenger, or go and see the Facebook page there, Stansted Arm Wrestling Club. I'm just really bad at posting stuff. I'm the only one basically now. Once we get more people going, I'll have one person dedicated to that. But we don't charge anything. There's no money involved. I don't want it to become money. If we need something, we all get together and we buy it. But it's the love of the sports. We just do it for the love of the sports.
Great. One more question. Is arm wrestling more strength or technique?
Oh, there's a lot of technique in that thing. Strength really helps. If you look at Levan, he's so strong that I don't take any, Levan is a very technical guy. He wasn't able to beat him. But technique does help. It does. I would say, I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I would say 50-50.
One more last thing. So how do you get better at arm wrestling? Are there websites or?
Oh, there's websites, but it's all about how much time you spend at the table, right? If you practice here, it's great, but you have to go out to tournaments. I went out in tournaments in the States last summer, and I finished on my right arm, I finished third, and on my left, I finished first. The more time you spend at the table, the better it is for you. Table time. Either it's in practice or in competition. Because in practice, practicing is fine. You're just there practicing, okay, your strength. But when it's the ready go with a referee, that's two different stories. Practicing and ready go, when I went to that tournament, there's a guy I beat. I beat him pretty easily. In practice, just practicing, I couldn't beat them. Nope. When the time you take off, they're ready go. You have an edge. If you can start a little quicker, half a second quicker than the other guy is already behind, you're winning, right?
Right.
It's all about time, quick.
You've been listening to my interview with David Paquette of the Stansted Arm Wrestling Club. What started with just a handful of locals pulling for fun has now turned into a committed weekly practice, a partnership with regional clubs, and a welcoming space for anyone interested in learning the sport. Paquette says the next step is confidence building and competition, and he's already seen growing interest from residents of all ages. If you're curious to try arm wrestling or just want to see what the club is all about, you can reach him directly on Facebook through the Stansted Arm Wrestling Club page. This is the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM, produced with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. I'm William Crooks. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more stories from across the townships. You're listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and this segment is brought to you with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative. Today, we're celebrating a huge weekend for Piper basketball. Both the senior girls and the bantam girls from Alexander Galt brought home championship titles at the recent Cégep de Sherbrooke tournament. The senior squad, coached by longtime Bishop's University coach Rod Gilpin, has now opened their season with three convincing wins and a level of depth and discipline that's quickly turning heads across the region. I spoke with Coach Gilpin about what powered their success, the development pipeline behind this strong group, and what lies ahead as they move into tougher competition. Here's our conversation. Your daughter plays for the Galt senior team, Rod. How long have you been coaching the team?
Yeah, I was coaching the team. Yeah, I've been with this group of
girls for the last, this is the third year I've been coaching them.
Give me a rundown of how the weekend went.
You know, we've had a, actually we won all three games. We won our first game, I think it was 66-13. Actually, I think we won by 53, 18, 26, and 21.
These are really dominant performances. What do you think about your competition?
Like, some okay teams, and but we have a very good D3 team. And I think we're one of the better D3 teams in the province. We're lucky to have a really good cohort of kids. So, who've all gotten better. I mean, it's part of it is because they're all involved in the sport concentration program at Galt. So they get excellent coaching from, you know, Christine Murphy for the past 2 years and Glenn Fosday this year as well. A lot of them have been involved in the Gator Elite program that's part of the Gator Basketball Academy, which is run by Steve Dunn. And a lot of those kids start before they get to Galt, and so that sort of gives them a running head start with the sport of basketball. I think it makes a big difference if you've played a little bit of basketball before you've gotten to Galt. So we just had a group of kids who benefited from all those types of things.
Tell me a little bit more about the tournament. Who participated?
I think we beat a team from Montreal on Saturday. Or the first game we won by was a team from Montreal. I think it was Regina Assumpscher College. And I think we played really well this weekend. So, and I think our kids didn't really give the other teams give them an opportunity to get 2-2 confidence.
What was the key to success?
I think the biggest thing for us is we only had 8 kids. We have 9 kids on our team this year. One of them was away, but all the kids we put on the floor are capable of contributing and helping us. They all have the ability to make a shot. They all understand how to defend. And, I think with some of the other teams, and they can all pass a little bit. And I think with some of the other teams, they're very dependent on one or two players. Whereas we have, 5 people who will often touch the ball in an offensive possession and are able to do something good with it.
So the other teams lack a little depth. Does that affect your strategy?
Oh, definitely. We're able to focus on the other team's best players, and then that's kind of our goal is let's see if the other team's weaker players can make plays. And, it'll be, like I said, I think if we allow the other team's best players to do what they wanted to do all the time, then the games would certainly be a lot closer. And to be honest, I mean, like, there's a couple teams we played against this weekend that we're capable of losing to. Things did go our way, and we did play very well. I think the credit to our girls for making sure they, could follow a game plan and they understood, who they were trying to stop.
What kind of tactics did you use to shut down good players on the other teams?
I try to make it difficult for them to get the ball in a scoring area. Be ready to help with a second defender anytime that there's a threat. And then allowing certain players to get more shots. Not shots at the rim, but shots from where we kind of want them to shoot it from. So,
are you allowed to double team in girls' high school basketball?
Yeah. There's at our level, at the juvenile level, you can play any type of defense that you want, whether it's zone, man, or a combination of both. And we'll do a little bit of everything, but we'll play mostly man-to-man defense. But we have a little bit of flexibility on defense.
Did anyone stand out in terms of offensive output?
I don't know. I think probably our top 3 scorers for the weekend would have been Liz McCauley, Chloe LaBrie Aulis, and Isla Gilpin.
Excellent. So your daughter did well.
So she had, I think she had 6 3-point shots in the semifinal game. We have a lot of good shooters. A girl named Emma Maxwell, who's a really good shooter, and we just have, you know, Liz McCauley's going to play at Champlain next year.
Just to confirm, this is the seniors, the grade 11 girls.
Yeah, that's it. My daughter's in grade 9, but the rest of the girls are in grade 11.
You said you've been coaching this team for 3 years. Explain what that means exactly.
Well, that's it. When my daughter entered Galt 2 years ago in level 1 or grade 7, she had played with a lot of the girls in the summer going to the Quebec Games, even though they were a couple of years ahead of her. And so Robbie Fisk asked if I would coach the junior team, and my daughter kind of skipped playing Bantam and went straight up to junior, and I ended up, you know, coaching this really strong group of junior players. And so we played 1 year junior, and then last year we were in senior, and obviously again in senior this year.
What stage are these girls in their season?
No, it's the first one. We go to LCC and play a couple of games on Saturday, which will be much tougher games, which is what we're excited about. And then we have a couple tournaments after Christmas. I mean, we have the English Provincials, which we won last year. And so we're looking forward to all of that. And we'll see. Last year we were undefeated in league and got upset in the league final in the playoff game. And so we're hoping to take it all the way this year and get this team to provincials again.
You've been listening to the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. My thanks to Coach Rod Gilpin for taking the time to share insights into the team's early season success and the growing strength of youth basketball at Galt. With both the senior and Bantam girls claiming championships on the same day, it's an exciting moment for Piper Athletics, and the season is only just beginning. The senior girls head to Montreal next for what promises to be a tougher set of matchups, and they'll return to tournament play after the holidays with their sights set firmly on a return to provincials. For more local sports coverage, interviews, and daily reporting from across the townships, visit cgmqnews.com and follow CGMQ on social media. I'm William Crooks. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more local stories right here on CGMQ 88.9 FM. That's all for today's edition of the Pulse of the Eastern Townships on CGMQ 88.9 FM. I'm William Crooks, and today's show was produced with support from the Local Journalism Initiative. We began in Lennoxville, where borough councillors are awaiting answers on the city's rebranding process after raising concerns about consultation and community identity. We then heard from Stansted's David Paquette, whose arm wrestling club continues to grow and attract new members. And we finished with Coach Rod Gilpin reflecting on a standout weekend for Galt basketball as both girls' teams claimed tournament championships. You can find full stories, interviews, photos, and daily news from across the townships on cgmqnews.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more local stories right here on CGMQ 88.9 FM. And never forget, keep your finger on the pulse.